Welcome to today's program. I'm Steve Kepler from Scope Elitis Transportation Consulting. And today we're going to talk about Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance's 2023 International Road Check, scheduled to take place May 16th to the 18th. I suspect many of you are listening are in the trucking industry and have lots of questions about roadside inspections and what to expect. I also suspect some of you have been through a roadside inspection yourself. You probably have heard about Road Check and are wondering what all the fuss is about. Well, today you're going to learn more about it, who puts it on, and why it's important. We're also going to talk about what carriers and drivers should expect for this year's Road Check event and offer a few tips for what you can do to prepare. I'm pleased to have Jeremy Disbro with me today. Jeremy is a roadside inspection specialist with the CVSA and also happens to be the individual overseas International Road Check program. Welcome, Jeremy, and thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
Fantastic. So, you know, before we get started, maybe just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah. So as you said, I work for CVSA. I'm a roadside inspection specialist. I'm fairly new to this position, recently retired after 20 years as a state trooper in Arizona. Included in that was training for all of the inspectors throughout North America, primarily in the United States. But we did training. I was the training coordinator for Arizona as well. And after retiring from there, I had the opportunity to come to CVSA. So I am the roadside inspection specialist for the roadside programs, and I specifically oversee the driver aspect of things, as well as International Road Check and the Passenger Carrier Committee. So,
fantastic. Well, you certainly come with a lot of credentials, and you joined a great organization. I have some experience there myself, and it's great organization, and really does some great things. So, you know, that's probably a good segue into kind of jumping in here. So maybe just tell us a little bit about who is CVSA.
So CVSA, the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance, is a nonprofit organization that includes commercial vehicle industry representatives, as well as state, local, territorial, provincial, and federal law enforcement officials and regulators. The collaboration between government and industry is really what CVSA is all about. So we collaborate, we identify issues, and we try to create harmonization and standardization in the inspection process throughout North America. So that includes Canada, the US, and Mexico as well. And really that standardization is what's beneficial for drivers and motor carriers. So they know what to expect when they go from one state to another or one country to another. The inspection should be standardized throughout all of those places.
Yeah, that's a big and a tall order, right? So you've got, you know, not just a number of states to deal with, but you've got countries too. So certainly is a challenge. But, you know, I think maybe talk a little bit more about kind of what the organization does and how it works, just to keep that uniformity and that standardization.
CVSA really does a little bit of everything. They represent all of their stakeholders. And that's what's really unique about CVSA is people tend to think of it as an enforcement kind of branch, but really it's representative of all stakeholders, including industry. And by industry, I'm not only talking about drivers and motor carriers, but they also represent manufacturers of braking systems, suspension systems. They're all involved in the discussions when we determine how to come up and develop the out of service criteria, inspection bulletins and guidance for inspectors. Really, it's just about providing guidance, education, and advocacy for industry and enforcement personnel.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. You know, you mentioned, you know, enforcement, and they know how to enforce the rules, right? So, but in order to understand and interpret them, a lot of time, particularly you mentioned the out of service criteria, which essentially is the pass fail criteria for what industry deals with roadside. I think a lot of times inspectors may not understand all the ins and outs of that, which I think is why you need industry, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you've seen the federal regulation book, it's not the easiest read all the time, and there's things that can be confusing sometimes. So that's what it's all about, is identifying issues or enforcement problems, creating education and guidance to overcome those problems. And that way we can have standardized inspections. And it should be The issue I always heard from drivers when I was on the enforcement side was they wanted consistency when they go from one state to another. They don't want surprises. Nobody likes surprises. And so this, the goal that we have is to eliminate those surprises and try to standardize everything and make sure that everybody's doing the same job the same way as best we can.
Well, it's a great mission, a tall order for sure, but I think by and large, you guys do a fantastic job, and kudos there. So maybe talk a little bit more about kind of the roadside inspection, what it is and kind of what enforcement's looking for.
So primarily the roadside inspection program is the enforcement side of it. So the roadside inspection program involves officials from all over North America. Like I said, they're all certified inspectors that conduct commercial vehicle inspections and motor carrier investigations. CVSA's roadside inspection program oversees the training and inspection procedures and the guidance that's critical to industry and enforcement to ensure that we have uniform compliance in all jurisdictions. So by doing this, drivers and motor carriers experience better regulatory consistency as they travel across state lines and international borders. It also ensures that enforcement officers follow the same inspection procedure every time. So for road checks specifically, which we'll get into in a minute, I'm sure, there's a 37-step level one inspection procedure that is the same in Canada, it's the same in Mexico and the US. So there's really no surprises, and drivers basically just, when they're inspected, they're going to follow this procedure and it should be standardized no matter where the inspection's taking place.
Yeah, so you mentioned level one inspection there in the 37-point step procedure. Are there other inspections that inspectors do as well?
Yeah, there's actually a number of inspection levels, but the primary ones that most drivers are going to experience are going to be level one, two, and three. And a level one inspection is a full inspection. That's the most thorough one. And it involves going underneath the vehicle, inspecting the brakes, inspecting the driver, all of the components. A level two inspection is basically the same thing, but the inspector's not going underneath the vehicle to check the brake system and anything that's not visible from outside the walk around inspection. We typically call it a walk around. And then a level three inspection is just a driver credentialing inspection. It involves looking at the driver's license, their credentials, and their hours of service records is primarily what they're looking at there. So the focus of road check is usually level one, but there may be times where you get a level two or a level three inspection as well.
Okay. Yeah. And I think some of that depends on, conditions at the time, how the state's set up, who's certified to do what. And so I think a lot of that, right. So it's somewhat state dependent on, but I think to your point, road check typically is the level ones, which is great. So I think that's a good lead into the next question. So maybe talk a little bit about what road check is and why it's important, who's involved and how it works a little bit.
Yeah. So historically, road check started in 1988 is when it started. So it's on its 35th year now. It's been a very successful enforcement campaign and outreach campaign. In those 35 years overall, there's been, as of last year, there was about 1.8 million inspections that were conducted throughout North America during these enforcement campaigns over the years. So it's a pretty successful campaign. It involves inspectors from all over North America. They're doing the same job they normally do. The main difference is the concentration of them is a little bit higher because it's a unified effort and people everywhere are participating. We try to get all hands on deck for this assignment and get a lot of inspections out there, get a lot of outreach out there. Specifically during road check, there's usually outreach campaigns that are associated with it. So I can speak for Arizona. When I was involved there, we usually had the trucking associations partner with us. They had, their maintenance people, their driver managers sometimes would shadow officers and kind of learn the job a little bit better, which gives them, a better outlook on how to maintain their vehicles and what inspectors are looking for. So a lot of states also set up booths at truck stops or rest areas where drivers can come in and ask questions. And they're usually, I hate to say risk-free, but it's an opportunity for you to go and talk to an inspector and say, hey, maybe I didn't understand these regulations. Could you explain them to me? And usually that partnership is very successful. In my experience, it's been very successful in my state. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of times, I mean, I think the outreach, you mentioned that, and certainly it's an enforcement focused bent to it. But I think the outreach from kind of what we see on our side of the fence a little bit, there's oftentimes a lot of confusion on the industry side, and having the opportunity to engage directly with enforcement just to kind of see how they look at things, right? It's just a different perspective. And I think the goal, right? We all have the same goal, right? We're all trying to have safe highways. And I think sometimes that us versus them mentality can be detrimental. I mean, is that one of Roadcheck's goals too, try and help promote that?
Absolutely. That partnership is critical. And I always hear people talk about the adversarial relationship between drivers and inspectors. And I got to be honest, in my experience, that's typically not the case. I think a lot of it just comes down to we're out there doing the same job, like you said, Steve. We both have the same goal of getting things to the end user safely without collisions and whatnot. And that partnership is critical for that. So I have found that if you start off the contact well with the driver and you're friendly with the driver, and the drivers are usually friendly back, and we usually, in fact, more often than not, I have to cut conversation short sometimes because these drivers have been on the road for a few days with nobody to talk to. So you kind of got to cut it off at some point or we'll be there for hours. But my experience has always been great with that. So
you talk about, you know, you mentioned Roadcheck's been around since 88, you know, and I've been around about that time, which I'm aging myself, but so what's been some of the kind of the experience over the years and results, and what are some of the major things you guys have found that tend to be a bit of a challenge during the inspections?
So I think during the 72 hour details, the inspection procedure is the same. So the inspectors are looking for the same things. But what's really neat about Roadcheck is we use the information gathered from the previous year and historical statistics as well from years prior to that to figure out where our problems are, where we need to do more outreach, and we target those areas. So this year we're looking at ABS systems. We're looking at cargo securement because traditionally those have been problem areas that we're seeing a lot of violations. We're seeing a lot of out of service things. And quite frankly, they're dangerous violations that cause collisions and sometimes fatalities. So we target those areas.
So in looking at kind of the historical data, it looks like that way back when the vehicle out of service rate started out about 35%, and it's kind of gradually trended in kind of in a downward path now around 22%. I think there's a number of things that can contribute to that, but the driver's pretty much staying flat at 5% in terms of out of service rates. And I don't know if you have any thoughts on that, what might be going on there.
I think there's a lot of things that play into that, but I think the biggest thing, and I always have thought this, that it tells me a lot because it really tells me that most drivers and most motor carriers are trying to do what's right. And that's something that I think enforcement sometimes overlooks and they don't always think about. But the reality is, like I said before, we've done 1.8 million inspections during these campaigns in the past. And the vast majority of them are not out of service. Many of them are clean inspections. And so I think the outreach, it tells me that the outreach is working, the education is working, and it tells me that, you know, motor carriers are, I think, starting to understand the importance of safety, and not only the safety aspect, but the liability, quite frankly, that goes along with it for motor carriers. I mean, with the lawsuits that a lot of companies can face nowadays from collisions and whatnot, it's cheaper to take care of small issues ahead of time rather than waiting until it causes a collision or is written on an inspection report. So kudos to the drivers. And that's why I think the rate is staying low with drivers, is because drivers overall are trying to do what's right. They're trying to get their job done, but they're trying to do it safely. And overall, with the miles they travel, they're, as we all know, some of America's and North America's safest drivers out there on the roads. So that's important to think about.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point you mentioned, you know, and I think when Roadcheck comes around, a lot of fleets and drivers, you know, maybe spend a little bit more time than normal looking at their equipment and making sure they're in compliance. But, you know, I think I'd like to think that they're, you know, most fleets are doing that year round. That's certainly something we'd like them to do, right? So, and I think that's one of the benefits of road check. It puts a little bit of a focus, at least that time of the year. And you hope that that culture kind of, you know, continues throughout the year. So from a, how does road check impact on carriers and driver? Kind of what's kind of the outcome of all these inspections and what happens with all that stuff?
Well, you just said it yourself, Steve. It shouldn't be a three-day detail that everybody ramps up for. It really should be a thought process, I think, that motor carriers have of safety all year long, not just during a three-day campaign. But what they can expect during that time period is, like I said, a higher concentration of enforcement out there. So there's a higher likelihood that your vehicles may be stopped or inspected. So I think preparing for that, I would consider that you may have some minor delays, during this time period. And more importantly, having your stuff prepared, not only your vehicle, but have your drivers prepared. Explain to the drivers, you know, what to expect during this time period that they may get inspected. And in my personal experience as an enforcement person, what really helps speed the process up and really works in the carrier's favor is preparing your documentation ahead of time. If you know you may get stopped, it's important to have your ELD records available. Maybe know how to transfer those records, because that's a requirement that a lot of drivers are not always familiar with. But me as an inspector, if I were inspecting that truck, if I see that the driver knows how to transfer their logs and they seem to have their stuff together, it really builds a rapport and it shows me that this driver takes a lot of pride in what they do. So I think those are important things, as well as the documentation that needs to be provided on an inspection. If you can have those in a binder ready to go and hand it over to the enforcement person, it'll really speed up the process as well. And then I can't stress enough, doing proper pre-trip inspections is really the crux of it. If you're doing a good pre-trip inspection every day, you don't need to worry about road check. You don't need to worry about any other enforcement action, really. If you're doing your pre-trips the way you are taught to do, you really have very little to worry about. So,
yeah. No, I think those are some good practical tips that folks should be paying attention to. So that's some good advice. So you mentioned a little bit earlier, kind of that you look at the data and you look at focus areas a little bit each year and where you're seeing some problems. And you mentioned ABS and load securement being this year's target items. And any thoughts there in terms of, you know, why fleets should care about those particular violations?
Yeah, let me throw a couple numbers at you real quick, because I was just looking those up this morning, actually. So we don't just arbitrarily decide, you know, we're going to use this as a focus area for this year. The way this works, to give you a backstory, is there's actually a committee that gets together. It's the International Road Check Program leadership that gets together. There's meetings twice a year where they analyze the data from previous years and determine what the focus area should be for this year. And so then it's voted on within that group. And that's kind of where we get to this determination.
Well, and interesting, you know, a little factoid there too, that a lot of people aren't aware of. If, and again, I'm dating myself, but the large truck crash causation study that FMCSA did years ago, one of the interesting findings from that, and that was a huge research study, if you're not aware of it, but one of the big findings from that study was, you know, rollovers and cargo securement problems, are a big problem in the data, but they tend, when those types of crashes occur, they tend to be more catastrophic than typical crashes because of the dynamics that are involved in that and tend to be multi-vehicle. And so I think a lot of folks, you know, think of when they think cargo, and I'd love to hear your thoughts here, but a lot of things think, you know, first of all, it can be complicated to properly secure your cargo. But it's really important from a safety perspective. What you think there?
Yeah, absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head. There's a lot of regulations that go with it that can be kind of confusing. But if you're doing, I don't want to oversimplify it, but if you're doing the best you can and you have a safety mindset, the regulations for the most part are not really a surprise. I mean, any person I don't care if you're a truck driver or you're just hauling a mattress in your pickup truck, for personal use, you know you got to have enough tie downs on it to secure it properly. And then common sense says, if I secure it and the wind is blowing at it for the next 10 hours, I probably should pull over and check every once in a while to make sure that my tie downs are still tight, nothing shifted, nothing fell off. And I think that's where a lot of it comes from. A lot of our problems come from is drivers just simply get behind the wheel and they push it and they don't pull over and recheck their cargo and double check to make sure their tie downs are in good shape and everything. So I think if you have that mindset from the start, you know, the rest of it kind of falls into play. So
you talked a little bit earlier about some tips that the drivers and fleets can do to prepare, but anything particular to ABS or cargo securement or anything else that you might mention that just to, for the carriers and drivers that are listening to this, any specific things that you want to share for them to be particularly watchful over for this year's road check?
So I think people kind of overlook ABS systems sometimes because it's something, like I said, that we take for granted. It's been in our personal cars for years and it's a safety feature that's really important, but understanding what it does is important. So it basically just is constantly analyzing the braking efficiency and the wheel speed and on uneven surfaces or poor road conditions during rain, snow, things like that. It prevents wheel lockup is basically what it does. And it decreases stopping distance. And we know every inch matters when we're talking about some of these collisions in our stopping distance. So it's important to make sure they're working well. And it's an extremely easy check to do. So I really want to point out, especially for this detail coming up, drivers, when they do their pre-trip inspection, can very quickly check to make sure their ABS system is working properly. You cycle the key on in the ignition, you watch the lights on your dashboard, they should turn on and turn back off. If they don't do that, there's a defect somewhere. And I'll tell you right now that the standard repair of sticking duct tape over the light is not really a repair. So once that light stays on, we know there's a problem. It needs to go to a mechanic. It needs to be checked and repaired and put back in service. On cargo securement, the best thing I can say on that one is like I said, it's a very dangerous, a very important thing for safety. It's very dangerous when cargo shifts or falls off. You said yourself, Steve, you know, it can affect the maneuverability. We get rollover collisions. So making sure that we have enough tie downs, making sure that it's properly secured and checking our tie downs under in the U.S. regulations, a driver's required to pull over after 50 miles and make sure that their cargo is still secured properly. And then during the day, they're required to stop every hour and a half, every 3 hours or every 150 miles to just double check, make sure the tie downs didn't come loose, things like that. So that diligence is really, really critical.
That's some good advice there. And I think duct tape really can be used for just about anything, right?
I don't know what causes it to sprout on these dashboards, but every time I go in there, I miraculously, when you pull that tape off, there's always a light on underneath it.
Yeah, so it's like Murphy's Law. Just you never know where it's going to show up. So
right.
So I don't know if you have any parting thoughts.
No, not really. I really appreciate being here. The biggest thing I want to just say is please do proper pre-trip inspections. And if you're not sure what's looked at on a pre-trip inspection, like you said, Steve, you can go to our website at cvsa.org. Under the inspection tab, you can actually see the inspection procedures and you can download those. You can give them to your drivers. I want to tell you, there's no surprises in this. This isn't designed to be a gotcha detail. It's not us against them. What it is really is an outreach and trying to improve all around for safety. So if you know what an inspector is looking for and you have that inspection procedure in front of you, use that as a guide as you're doing your pre-trip inspection and you should be good to go. So
I think that's great practical tips. You know, I want to thank you for your time today and sharing this important information and advice. For those of you that are listening in, if you want to find out more about CVSA or International Road Check, go to the web, cvsa.org. They've got a lot of great information there. And I think you've got some tips that in cheat sheets and things that folks can use. It's really great material. If you want to learn more about STC and what we do, you can go to scopeelitisconsulting.com.